Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 4 of Proverbs. I'll begin by reading. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom and get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve you. Love her, and she shall keep ye. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you to honor when you do embrace her. She shall give to your head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to you. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of my life shall be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when you run, you shall not stumble. Take hold fast of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it not. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words and incline thy ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a froward mouth and a perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight on and your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor the left, remove thy foot from evil. Now, let's go back and see what we got in here. As I stated from the very beginning, Don, I'll say it for you so you hear it now, what I started from the beginning, just a brief thing. This is about what people call the books of wisdom. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and Job. You know, those five books they call the book of poetry. But these are books of wisdom, extreme wisdom. And this is a map, a road map of how to live your life. And if you listen to what he's saying, he's talking to you as an individual, okay? He's talking to you how to live your life. But this is very, very important. This is how we live our life. And it's a progression from chapter 1 clear to the end. It's a progression. And this morning, we're going to hear something very powerful in what it says. If we listen to it, listen to what it says, it'll help us in our life. The first word, what is it? Shama. It's the word shama in the Hebrew. It means hear with the intent to respond positively to that word. When I hear God, I respond positively to Him. That's what I need to do when I hear from God, okay? He said, you sons, hear with the intent to respond to me. That's what Father's telling us. If I speak to you, I should respond positively to what He says. Because everybody responds to what God says, don't they? One way or the other. Positive or negative. But we need to hear him. He said, to the instruction of a father, and the word a is not there. Guess what the word should be? The. Hear the instruction of the father, because it's not a father. It's like, that could be your dad, my dad, anybody's dad, that's your father. No, no, we're talking about the father, and there's only one of them, isn't there? And attend, or what? Be attentive. To know understanding, or literally discernment. We need discernment. We need to discern what's going on. You know how you get discernment? Discernment's not some magic thing. Somebody comes by and taps you on the head and you got it. That's what the Pentecostals believe. That's not what this book says. You learn it. You know how you learn discernment? You learn the truth. And anything that doesn't match up with the truth, you can discern it's a lie, can't you? It's a falsehood. It's a deception. You don't have to have somebody come along and say, Oh, you better try to discern it. You better pray about that and see if you can discern whether it's right or wrong. If I know the truth, I don't have to, do I? How long does it take you to figure out what's right and wrong in your life? Instantly you know it. You know why? Because you know something. You know what's right and what's wrong. And that's basically all you have to know is what God has said. You know His patterns, not according to church dogma and doctrine, but according to the Scripture, what God says. You don't need anything else. You've got Him. See, you've got His knowledge, His understanding. That's putting on the mind of Christ, isn't it? If we do that, what problem will you have in your life? Let me say right now, plenty of them. But you'll be able to deal with them. Right? Jesus never said, take them out of the world and protect them. He said, protect them in the world. Didn't he? In John 17. So don't worry about that. Main thing is, hear what He says and learn to discern. He says in verse 2, because I give you good instruction. He said, I give you good instructions. I give you a good teaching. If God teaches you, what would you lack? Thank you. So you lack nothing. All you've got to do is let God teach you. And when I was sitting in a church years ago, this man started a ministry class, I think it was. He said, he's going to teach us all how to be preachers. And he come around everybody and said, well, what did you learn? Who did you learn this from? And when he got to me, I said, I've learned everything I have from God. God has shown me. He said, oh, you're just trying to be too spiritual. I said, no, the Holy Spirit is my teacher. God is my teacher, not man. I'm sorry, it don't work. See, they would want me to blow them up. Well, I get accused of that. I was told that a lot of times. You're so spiritually minded, you're no earthly good. You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. See, they say, come back to earth with us. I say, hey, won't you come on up with me? Hello, come on up. Isn't that what the Spirit always says? Come on up. They love misery, and so I don't want to go there. But anyway, so I give you good instruction or teachings. Forsake not my law. See, what I show you, my words, my doctrines, my instructions, my teachings, what I show you, don't forsake them. Because they will guard you throughout your life. Every aspect of life. And a lot of people think that this stuff is only for in our Sunday morning meetings. Or Wednesday meetings. This is a life thing. It's for life. Every day of your life, this will help you overcome through your life. Throughout your life, from now till the day you die. And pass out of this earthly realm. This will help you get through it. He taught me also and said to me. Now notice that this man writing this, Solomon, he said he taught me and he said to me. Now you think God only talks to a few select people? Oh, I'm sorry. Go back to 3, I'm sorry. Because I was my father's son, tender and beloved in the sight of my mother. Because I was my father's son. So he's telling you right there, you know your father loves you and your mother loves you, and he's saying that's about all I got. He didn't say anybody else loved him, did he? And when you walk in the paths of God, just take Jesus for example, how many people loved him? Very few. Even his disciples really didn't love him. Why would he ask Peter 3 times, do you love me, Peter, if Peter really loved him? They didn't know what love was. He was making Peter aware of his inadequacies. He wasn't hurting him. He wasn't condemning him. But he was making Peter aware that, son, you don't really love me because you don't know what the word love is about yet. I've told you before, when me and my wife got together, I was in lust. It wasn't about love. That's where most other people are. That's where you start. And love is something that's built over a period of time by experience and relationship with someone. You learn to love them, don't you? And that's what we have to realize. Love is something that you don't just snap your fingers and say, oh, I'm in love with that one. No, it's by relationship, by time. And verse 4, he goes on and says, he taught me and he said to me, and God doesn't just talk to a few people, he talks to all of us, if we have ears to hear, don't he? Let your heart retain my words. What's your heart? This blood pump in your chest, or he's talking about your brain? He's talking about the mind, the brain. Retain my words and keep my commandments and die. What did he say? Live. If you keep these words, if you do what God says, what did he say you'll do? Live. Now he's not talking about this life. I know people want to make it natural. But he said you're going to live. You're going to be alive in spirit. and spirits never die, do they? He said, if you keep these words, you'll live. And that's forever. It's not about the flesh. It's about your spirit coming to life. Verse 5, get wisdom or what? Okay. Let me tell you what this word wisdom here means. The intellectual power to decide wisely. The intellectual power to decide wisely. See, God has given us that wisdom, hasn't He? To make a wise decision. How did we get that? Did we just get popped on top of the head by somebody and all that wisdom jumped in there? Isn't it by experience? Isn't it by a process of learning? You can't learn everything at one time. You got to build upon it, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little, right? Isaiah told us that. Correct? I read verse 4 and I said verse 5. I just got the wisdom, didn't I? Verse 5, get wisdom, that intellectual power to decide wisely, and get understanding. Well, the word understanding, most of the time in Proverbs, when you see the word understanding, it should be discernment. Get discernment. And again, that's a process. You learn what's right and wrong. You learn what God said versus what everybody else says. And if you follow God, you're going to be going against the flow. Forget it not, neither decline or turn away from the words of a mouth. Don't turn away from the words of a mouth. Whatever it is, you know, it's not easy to walk after what God says. If it was easy, wouldn't everybody be there? Very few people can walk it because they can't handle the pressure of the change and being ostracized. And every man or woman in this book, their lives are in here as a pattern to our lives, are they not? To let us know that when you walk, you're in a desert by yourself. That desert experience, you could be a million people standing around you and you still be by yourself, can't you? And that's the way it is when you're walking with God. You haven't got big crowds following you. Now, they'll follow the man that talks about God, but the man who knows God, they'll shun, won't they? They wanted to follow the Jewish people to the temple, but they didn't want Jesus because He brought too much fire in their lives. And fire is not always a bad thing because it purifies. It's a good thing. Verse 6, forsake not... Talking about the wisdom, right? Forsake not that wisdom that He gives you, and she shall preserve you. Love her, and she shall keep you. Okay? You got to love the wisdom. You got to love what it's doing to you. You don't love because it hurts so bad when you have to go through these experiences, but you love the result. What's the finished product? Okay? That's what I love. I don't love being rejected and scorned by people, but I love the processed. At the end of that process, what's the product that comes at the end? Perfection. There's what I'm after. Come forth as gold. Job 23:10. Think it not strange, Peter said, 4:12. Think it not strange when these fiery trials come upon you to try your faith, right? Because the trying your faith is more precious than gold, right? See, we shouldn't think badly about these things coming against us. It's going to make us a better, stronger person. We just have to understand it. We just have to go through it whether we like it or not.
Isn't that what baptism is?
We're being baptized into fire.
It's
a process of it. Verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, or literally it should say the first thing. It's the word protos. Yeah. Should be first. I think it's the word protos. Anyway, it means the word there should be first. Wisdom is the first thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get discernment, the ability to know the difference between what's right and what's wrong, what's God and what's not God. How's that? Discernment, we're talking about God and not God. Verse 8, exalt her, we're talking again about this understanding and wisdom and discernment. And she shall exalt you. Exalt her and she shall exalt you. She shall bring you to honor because you embrace her. You embrace this wisdom and honor of God, this stuff of God, and it'll bring honor to you. You think He's talking about the world? The world's not going to honor you because of what you do for God or live like God. They've tried to destroy God in every way possible. What do you think the parable Jesus taught about the man who had the vineyard and He sent people to take care of it? And He said, sit there and collect my dues from my harvest from these people. What's due me? And they kept killing them, trying to get rid of them. Why? Because they were messengers of God. And all they wanted to do is get rid of God so they could become God. And that's the heart of man, isn't it? Okay. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Yep, okay, thank you. The word wisdom in there, in verse 7, says wisdom is the principal thing. It's reshith, or the first fruit, or the first thing. Right, absolutely. Okay, on to verse 9. She shall give to your head an ornament of grace. Now, the word grace, we misunderstand it because it's what everybody thinks it is. That word grace shouldn't even be grace, it should be favor. Okay. She gives an ornament of favor, and a crown of great honor shall she deliver to you. Grace, according to the New Testament, is not, you know, God's riches at Christ's expense. You know, it's about a divine influence in your heart and a reflection of that into your lifestyle. That's what it's all about. Verse 10, there we go with Shammah again. Hear with the intent to respond positively, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be increased, or shall increase. If I listen to what God says, if I hear what God says, and then I respond positively to that, it says my years will increase. Well, how many people don't want that? So you know what the flip side of that is? Don't listen, my son, and don't receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall not be many. Without the peace, the stress of life will kill you, won't it? And if you have peace in your life from God, it won't take your life away from you. You can live to the age you should be living to. Healthy enough to enjoy your life while you're here. I can't wait to die healthy. I want to die healthy. I don't want to be any worse shape than anything else and be in some kind of dreaded disease, laying in a bed, sucking every breath, struggling, trying to get a breath in me. I feel sorry for people like that. But I want to die healthy. Because everybody's going to die, aren't they? Everybody dies. No shock. I want to die healthy whenever it's my time. So I'm going to listen to what God says so I can have a lot of years. There's a lot of people who live a lot of years that don't like any of their life. People live in their 80s and 90s and live in pure hell their whole life. They're in misery. No, that's no increase. Increase of peace in your life. No reward, is there? No. Verse 11. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you go, your steps shall not be what? It says straightened in the King James, but it said they shall not be in distress. Your lifestyle will not be walking around in distress all the time. How many people do you know that their lives are total turmoil and distress all the time? I mean, the majority of the people are that way because they do it to themselves. They won't hear what God has to say. So, that's okay. That's what they want. That's okay with me. And when you run, you shall not stumble. So when you start moving on, you ain't going to have to worry about it, are you? Doesn't the book say the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord? What do we got to worry about? Nothing to worry about. God will take care of it. Take hold, the word fast shouldn't be there. Take hold of instruction. And literally that word instruction should be discipline and correction. Take hold of discipline and correction and let it not go. Keep it. Because she is your life. You know how many people in this world have no discipline or correction in their lives? They absolutely reject all discipline and all correction in their lives. And their lives are in total turmoil, chaos, and they can't understand why. Even in the natural world, you take a person who is disciplined in the natural world and by the rules and regulations of the world, do you know that person seems to be walking in peace? It's a natural peace. It's not a spiritual peace. Inside, they still have turmoil, but outside, they can show you they look pretty good. That's exactly right. Absolutely. And a lot of people in the world have picked up on that. You can discipline your emotions. A lot of people can't control the emotions. Sometimes that woman needs to be slapped in the mouth. And I'm talking about the soul, not each other. Verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil. The word men isn't there. You know why men is added there? Because they believe that we're talking about wicked people versus good people. And we're not talking about that, are we? We're talking about the wicked thought process of our minds versus the godly thought process. God says the righteous shall never be removed from the earth, and the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. We're going to get there in Proverbs. You'll get to see that later. The wicked shall not inhabit the earth. Well, he's going to take it out of us. That's a promise. That's a good thing. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away or run away. Get away from it. And what's he talking about? The verse before, the path of the wicked and the way of evil. Get away from it. If you know it's not good, why would you hang out at it? It's just going to get you. It says the evil communications in the New Testament, it says evil communication corrupts good lifestyles. So if I hang out with people that's doing all kinds of bad things before I am solid in who I am, what's going to happen to me? I'll fall right back in the same trap with them and I'll be gone. See, right back wherever they're at in the world. Once you get yourself to a place, and I'm not saying you're above anybody, I'm just saying once you know who you are, you know your identity. See, I've already experienced death. I don't need any more experience in that. Now I want the life. I don't want death anymore. So why would I go back and play with it? I'm not playing Russian roulette with the lifestyle of the world. It doesn't do me any good. It can only take my life away from me. Verse 16, because they, and now that they is not necessarily a person, see? That's what the church world will teach you. He's talking about them bad people out there deceiving you. You know what deceives me? My mind. My mind is the accuser, not them. I don't care how much they accuse me, they can't change me unless I permit them to. My mind makes that decision. Because they sleep not, except they have done mischief or evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Now let me show you something. There's the purpose for evil. What is it? What's the purpose of evil? Cause somebody to fall. It says, their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. They can't be at peace in their own lifestyle and in this wickedness unless they cause someone else to fall. They're always trying to get you to jump in the pit with them, aren't they? Don't go there. So you've got to make that choice. Because they eat or feed on the bread of wickedness. They feed on the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Do you know that bread is a satisfaction when you eat good bread, isn't it? It's a fulfilling. Wine is something different. There's a positive context to wine, the revelation, but there's a negative context to wine, which is an intoxication. And you know, when you're intoxicated, you'll do things you wouldn't normally do. Correct? Yeah, just watch people that drink very much. I mean, I'm not saying a drink's going to hurt you, but I'm saying when you overdrink, when you take to excess, you're going to get in problems, I guarantee you. Wait till we read Proverbs 27, you'll find that out, or 28. You'll find that out. It tells you real clearly. Verse 18, but the path of the righteous is as the shining light that shines more perfect into the perfect day. Now let me read that verse 18 in another translation, okay? Verse 18 in the Amplified. But the path of the uncompromisingly, get that word, uncompromisingly just and righteous is like the light of dawn that shines more and more brighter and clearer until it reaches a full strength and glory in the perfect to be prepared day. I like that. Did you like that? That's the Amplified version. I'm going to read it again because I like it so well. But the path of the uncompromisingly, did you get that word? Uncompromisingly just and righteous is like the light of dawn that shines more and more, brighter and clearer until it reaches its full strength and glory in the perfect day. Man, that's good. And that's what it is. And see, to get there, to get to that brighter and clearer day, you must be uncompromising. You hear me? Huh? You have to be the pillar that bear the load. And that's a word that has never been in my vocabulary most of my life, even when I was pure heathen. compromise was not in my book. If I'm right, even if I was wrong and I thought I was right, I was willing to go to the grave with it. But now I understand truth. It's a lot different. Now I am definitely not compromising. I know the truth that I have, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going off that course. I'm staying right there. And I think that's what this whole chapter's told us, not to give it up, didn't he? Stay with it. Hang on to it. Protect it. Verse 19. The way of the wicked is what? Darkness or ignorance. See, they don't know. They know not at what they stumble. See, it's ignorance. They don't even know what's causing them to have their problems, do they? You know how many people say, I just don't understand why life's so hard on me? They're doing it to themselves. Oh no, they wouldn't do it for anything because that's what they want. Some people love anger and violence because, you know, people that's in drugs, I've noticed people that's in drugs, most of them are very angry people. And you know what anger does when you get angry? What's it do to your body? Well, yes it does, but there's something else. It pumps adrenaline into your body. And adrenaline is a high. And when they can't afford drugs, they can get mad and get a cheap high, cheap temporary fix off of getting mad. Hear me? That's the truth. It pumps adrenaline in your body, gives you a cheap high temporarily to get them over the hump until they can find some more drugs. That's why they're so angry, because they realize in their brain it relates to it. I'm not saying they do it intentional, but their brain picks up on it. If I explode and get mad at somebody, I get this rush of adrenaline, and that takes care of that addiction that I have for a little while. Looking for reasons to get mad, even if it's subconscious, they look for it. I don't think it's conscious for most of them, but subconsciously they look for reasons to be angry so they can get that quick fix. No, they just know that it's when they get mad they feel better. You want to frustrate somebody? Don't fight with them. That drives them crazy. No. No. What's what they think? Okay, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. That's not correct. Listen. The word attend should be listen to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. Or in other words, let your ear reach out. Broaden your ear out to hear everything that he has to say. You know, we get in a hurry. And I heard this story years ago when I was in grade school. I've never forgot it. And I understand it in the process. This school teacher, and I don't remember which one told me about it, but it was a woman teacher in my younger years, like in the first few years of school. And she said she was teaching about bird nests. And she told this story about how God, when he talked to the birds and told them how to build their nests. And I know it was a fictional story, but it had a great truth buried in it. And it stuck with me from way back then, all those years ago, you know. And over half a century ago. But it stuck, so it must have been something there. But she's talked about all these birds, and God said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to build a nest. We're going to need some sticks. And some of them jumped up and ran off. You know, flew off and built their nest out of sticks. And he said, we're going to need some mud. Some of them jumped up and ran off and got some mud and went through all the different processes of leaves and sticks and twine and all these different things that you could build nests out of, all these birds do. But when he got to the end and told them how to put it together, there was only one bird left. It was a hummingbird. And a hummingbird has a structural design to it that can withstand a hurricane. They can go through a hurricane, and if a tree don't, and usually when they build their nests on a tree, that tree won't go down. That's amazing. But they, you know, God gave them that wisdom. The last one that stood and got all of it. And the idea is, don't pick up something and run with it. If you pick up some wisdom or a nugget of truth, don't be in a hurry to run away from that place. Sit still a little bit and listen, because there could be more. You know, don't be in a hurry. And everybody gets one little nugget of truth and they want to run off and build a church on it or build a doctrine on it. Man, this is a big story he's telling us. There's a whole lot of truth that goes with it. And if you start building your house and don't get your foundation done, or all you get's the foundation and you got nothing else, what are you going to live in? Going to sleep on top of them blocks or concrete floor? You know, let God build the entire house. Don't be in a hurry. listen to everything you got. But I've never forgot that in all these years, you know, the point of that story about staying to the end and listening to everything. And I don't think that was the woman's idea she was teaching, but it got to me. So I was hearing from God way back then, didn't even realize it. Get all the information. If you just get part of it, you're still incomplete, aren't you? You got to get it all to be perfected. When did I finish? That was 20? 21. Let them not depart from your eyes. Now, what is your eyes? Why would he say, don't let them depart from your eyes? We know this wisdom is not in your eyes. What's he trying to tell you? Very close. Focus. See, let your focus be on these things. Don't let your focus get off on something else. And your eyes is what takes you. You focus on something, don't you? Okay, don't let your focus get away from you. Keep them in the midst, these words, keep them in the midst of your heart or your mind. Correct? Verse 22, because they are life to those that find them, and what? To all flesh. Now, the word health. There's three words that word can mean besides that. And I don't even think health is really in there. I think it's just what they put in there. But this word actually means and medicine or a cure or a deliverance to their flesh. See? So he said when you learn these things, it will even make your flesh be better off. It can cure your flesh. It can deliver your flesh. But that's not what it's about. He said if you keep these wisdoms of God and utilize them every day in your life, it'll even make your physical body a little better. We can all use some of that, can't we? But that's not the point. The point is first getting our minds right, our spirits lined up. Verse 23, keep your heart or your mind with all diligence, because out of it is what? Okay, it says issues of life, but the word issues could be rendered a lot better than what it is. It's the source of life. Keep your heart or your mind with all diligence, because out of it is the issue of life. There is not issues, plural. There is only one issue in your life. What is it? Christ. Hear what I'm saying? They can put those little letters on there in plural and make you think there's a whole lot of things, but that's not the truth. There's only one issue, and it's Christ. That's it. And He is the source of life. But put away from you a froward mouth. What's froward mean? Deceitful. Absolutely. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. That would be kind of lying, wouldn't it? And perverse lips put far from you. What's the word perverse mean? Devious is what the language says. Devious. And it is the same thing. It's deceitful and devious are very close together in meaning, aren't they? But it says both things here. It says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and devious lips put far from you. And in verse 25 it says, let your eyes look in front of you, not straight right on, but in front of you, straight on, straight in front of you. And let your eyelids look straight in front of you. So what's he telling you? Keep your eye on the path. See, keep your eye on him. So the book says keep your eye on Jesus or the Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. Yeah, it could mean a lot of. There's a lot of different issues that could tie into it. You know, unstable, someone trying to stir something up. There's a lot of things that go to that same thought process. You deviated. You deviated, didn't you? See, you were. So that's part of that word. Flash. Thinking you can stumble and fall and miss something. Keep your eyes open. Keep them focused. See? It'll be all right. Just keep it focused. Verse 26. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Now look what he says. He tells you something to do here and tells you what it does. Ponder, or literally think about the path of your feet or your lifestyle. Ponder your lifestyle or think about your lifestyle. Think about what you're doing. He said, and let all your ways be established. If you think about it, guess what's going to happen? You're going to come to a reckoning about what is right and what's not. True or false? When you come to that reckoning of what is correct for your life, It is going to do what to your life? All the ways will be established. Because you'll make your decisions, you won't have to pray about it. You've already made your contact with God through your lifestyle. And you don't have to go pray about something. What you have to do is make a decision. Because we're called to be a nation of kings and priests, or kingly priests, are we not? To our God. Okay, kings do something. They make decisions. They don't go say, let me talk to God and see what He wants to do. They know, because you've learned through your lifestyle and experience with Him, you know what you got to do. You don't have to play the game. You just do what you got to do. Did David, every time God had something for him to do, did he run back and pray about it? Neither did all the other prophets. There's times when they talk with God. Yes, they had their intimate times, but that's not what it's about. Sons are supposed to grow up and be mature. And just like your son sitting right there at that table, right now you have to talk to them and tell them things as they grow and mature, don't you? But there's going to come a time in their life when they're living on their own. And Dad don't have to tell them, because Dad taught them what they needed in their life. And now they don't have to call Dad and say, Dad, what am I going to do with the situation? They can make a decision because you taught them the right way to go. Isn't that what God wants from us? He wants us to do the same thing. He wants to give the kingdom to us and the authority to us. But until we grow up, we can't have it. Can we? As much as Ben would like to have a new four-wheel drive truck to run up in the woods or something with, you know, he can't have it yet, can he? Not yet. But when he gets bigger, he can get something like that, can he? Because he's not there yet. And that's no knock on anything. It's just the fact we had to go through the same process. And we got to grow up. That's what God wants us to do. That's what this whole book is about. Growing us up into the full stature of Christ. That's what it's about. Okay, verse 27. Turn not to the right, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Or your lifestyle from evil. What do you think this whole chapter is really telling you? One word.
Focus.
Exactly. It's focus. Keep your focus upon God and you won't have your issues everybody else has. You'll have problems, but you'll have solutions. They'll have problems with no solutions. They'll be going eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and you'll be making your decisions and go on.
That's going right back to the verse we were talking about before we started teaching Philippians 2:12.
Go ahead.
Wherefore, my beloved, as you have also always obeyed, not in my presence only.
Yeah. Absolutely. See, that's just another witness. That's the witness to, there's so many witnesses to it. God wants us to grow up. What do you think he says in Ephesians 4:11? He gave some apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, teachers. And the reason he gave that gift to humanity was for the perfecting of the saints and growing them up to the full stature of Christ. Would that be maturing? That's what God's trying to do. This book of Proverbs is trying to tell us our lifestyle and showing us the error of our ways, not to condemn us, but to show us the error of our ways so we can make corrections and we can learn the discipline that God wants us to have, the uncompromising walk in life. All it is.